speaking of historic, I think Dutchess County historian Will Tatum is going to stop by here in a few minutes. And I want to thank those folks who have stopped by. And Tom Mulroy, you know, thanks for trying to describe this project. It's you can go on the website and find the site plan, but it is a very complex program and project, I should say. When I think back, I had said earlier about how many ups and downs of cycles there have been over the last several years. It really is amazing. It is amazing. When I think back, you know, we came out of the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, 2009. You know, we had COVID in the middle. We've had so many disruptions. Interest rates are back up now. Let's talk for a minute about the kinds of partnerships that you put together to do a project like this, because it is really about a team of people. The folks I met last week at the ribbon cutting, outstanding group of individuals.
Yeah, no, thank you, Tom. You have to, in a development like this, you really need to take a long-term approach as far as not just planning of it, but also the capital markets, because the project's, you know, doing great. Approvals are done. Our IDA's done. We're going forward on various stages. How fast we go is dictated by the capital markets. That's world events. So for us, we have to look that there's going to be a down cycle, and how do you control that? The biggest thing you can do, because I came from the workout days in early 1990-93 at Chase Manhattan, Morgan Chase, and in the real estate group. It was the largest real estate group in the world. And I got thrown into the fires with all workouts, bankruptcies, foreclosures in real estate. You learn what not to do pretty quick. Luckily, I was learning on someone else's dime. I think it was a wise man learns from his mistakes, a rich man learns from someone else's mistakes. So you learn from that. So all I do, when you buy land and it's a long-term play, you have to put long-term vision and long-term capital in play. The one thing you don't want is to have debt on a property. We have never had debt on this project up till 2 years ago. So for 15 years, we did it all equity ourselves, and we put debt on recently for the construction loan office of the hotel, which was converted to a 27-year perm loan. So that's all done. We locked in, luckily, at lower rates. We are now looking in the markets for various levels. What's the best mix of debt equity for the next phase, too? You have to optimize that, you know, how much debt, how much equity. But you don't want to put debt on something unless you're coming out of the ground that you know within a short time you'll be earning cash to pay that. Because that's where most investments or developers get in trouble, because you have debt and you hit a bad market, and you're going to have a bad, every 10, 15 years, you have to assume there's a bad market, and you got to be able to make sure you can control your destiny there. And you can control it by not having debt on the project. Yes. And it doesn't earn cash flow. So that's why right now we have minimal or virtually very little on it, because we kept it all equity. The next phase, we'll be in the markets looking for construction financing. So that's normal, because that's an 18-month process. You'll have an income-producing asset that'll then pay that and put a normal long-term capital structure in place. So that's how really you control long-term development, not get caught in the 07. We actually bought this project, tied it up during the 07-10 timeframe that you mentioned before, and we closed it in 11, because the previous owners did have a lot of debt on it, and you know, it was years away from getting anywhere, and you got to keep coming out of pocket. So there's opportunities in down markets, up markets. It just depends what chair you're on, musical chairs.
I will save this conversation for another day, but I just shake my head. You talked about back in 92-93, Resolution Trust, meltdown of the Savings and Loan Association. We'll save this for another day, but do people really have short memories to come out of that and turn around and do the same thing on steroids?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I can tell you, yes, they do.
Yeah, I think it's part short-term memories. I also think it's also enticements. So all of a sudden they get cheap money for a period of time. Let's run and see what happens. And a lot of the investments out there are done, oh, well, I get cheap money. Let me go do something. It might not make sense, but I got cheap money. Let's do it. And that doesn't buy well long term. Other times it's, you know, you thought out project, and you just got to wait and have patience to put the right proper capital market on, cheap or not. You just got to, you know, delay things if needed, but you got to be able to have that sustainability with that.
So tomorrow morning, I'm going to do a story about buy now, pay later.
National debt, is that what it's a story about?
No, this is about young people being sucked into buying even everyday items, you know, a $12 item, you only need to pay me $3 today. The statistics are absolutely staggering. $700 billion of phantom debt that's burdening, especially young people down, that is holding them back from it. But it seems it's the enticement. Buy now, pay later, no interest until you miss a payment. And then the interest rates are astronomical.
My son gets mad at me all the time. I tell him I'm so glad I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning. Because you think about young people today, what they're faced with. You know, Tom has the number. A child born today is $100,000 in debt when they're born because of all the national debt and everything involved. Think about
it. Depends if he's a taxpayer or not. If he's a taxpayer, it's $250. If he's not a taxpayer, it's nothing.
That's a good point, actually.
Excellent point. Excellent point. But at any rate, it's, we'll come back to this because we really have to get people in public office who have that long-term vision. Mm-hmm. There's been too many, even CEOs in publicly traded corporations.
No consequence, no responsibility. Short-term-minded.
Exactly.
Looking long-term.
Exactly. And, you know, the ability, well, I'm going to, you know, massage the numbers, for the next 3 months or 6 months and get my stock options. And we have to come back to the fact that we have the long-term view of it. In the years that I was in the insurance business, sure, we got profit sharing from our insurance carriers, but you had to meet lots of different criteria. You couldn't just do a 3 months. You basically were looking at 3 and 5 year rolling averages in terms of customer retention. And all of these things are important. It's what we talked about earlier. Dot, we've talked about this. And when Malene was here, customer service, meeting the needs of the customer long term. And that's
what we build our business on. That's why I strongly believe in the smaller chamber of commerces.
Yes.
We partnered with Dutchess, and Frank was kind enough to share it with us the other day. What I can offer our chamber members is this connections and the networking. This is how you do business. Yes, I know we have social media. It will be with us forever. And it's fine. It's a tool. But it takes people to do it, number one. However, I want to do business face to face. I know you now, so I'm going to do business with you. And in the communities, and let's face it, America is a whole country of small communities.
Yes.
You know, even your big cities have neighborhoods and they're small communities.
My daughter and son-in-law live in Manhattan, 56th Street in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. exactly what my daughter has said to me for years and years and years. We were in the big city, but we have our own community.
Right. The idea of the smaller villages and what you're building here and what Pleasant Valley is doing, people are going there because that's more comfortable to shop because it's a better space. It's in scale with what they want to see. It took us a long time to come to this realization. Mm-hmm. That the scale is what, you know, a neighborhood or a village is comfortable. So this is something that I can offer our chamber members. Come be a part of it. Somebody joins the chamber and said, oh, well, they didn't do anything. What do you want us to do? I don't know you. I don't know what you need, so I can't help you. But you come and be with us, and we start to learn what you do. We had a breakfast a couple of months ago, and our guest speaker didn't come. And we didn't have a lot of people. So I said, all right, let's just talk about us. What do you do? What do you, what about your business that I don't know about? Can talk about it. The first gentleman that I asked, was it his first time he had come to something like this? I had met him a couple other times, shy. And I asked him to start off, and he says, well, when I was born, I said, no, not quite that far back. But, once he got going, it was cool. He's an interesting gentleman. So I will do business with him.
And Tom Mulroy, back to that point, your years in the business, it's about relationship building. It's about integrity. It's about honoring your commitments that you make.
It's simple. You don't sell something you wouldn't buy yourself. You treat your customers the way you want to be treated when you're a customer. It is not rocket science, folks. It's common sense, and it works.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's long-term view, short-term view. I was in commercial banking, I was investment banking, and commercial banking's long-term relationship building over the long term, doing what you say, saying what you do. A lot of the other bank side was transaction-oriented, hit the transaction and go on to the next one, kill or be killed. So there's a big difference between long-term view and short-term view.
At 8:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live, we're going to go out to a break here in just about a minute, and we'll be here until 8:55 this morning. But it is a beautiful location. My wife was here, Joanne was here with granddaughter Ava and her boyfriend Pat, and we're just standing here looking out at this view out of the hospitality suite up on the fifth floor, and it's just spectacular. The phases, as you've spoken about before, Tom Mulroy, the other hotel that will be built to the back of the property is another couple of hundred feet in elevation. So we're out in a minute back on WKIP.